to be thinking of what God wants you to think about. It's very important indeed to do that. We go wrong because of what we think. There's a verse that the Lord Jesus used, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are what you are. What comes out of your mouth, which we had this afternoon, will betray what really is there. And out of the heart comes all manner of evil. And we didn't like thinking about that this afternoon. I myself had thoughts of my young life, particularly when I was a thief. And I shared a little bit, and only a very little bit, about that. But she says, is not one of us worthy? I don't know. I get the impression over the years that people look and say, oh, that Leslie Smith, oh, he's a minister, you know. He's a special person as a minister. And they got some idea, you know, that you're nearly perfect. And some have no idea the sort of lives we lived. No idea that we live without God and couldn't care less about the things of Christianity. All we cared about was ourselves. We cursed and blasphemed and did all the other things that the world seems to thrive on. No idea. But it all begins in the heart. And in order that the heart of the poor sinner, like you, like me, so it all begins, what reaches the heart is the words concerning God and concerning the Lord Jesus. That's where God begins, with the word coming to the heart. And not only do we find that we have salvation, that is forgiveness of sins, new life in Christ, bound for heaven. Not only that do we find, but we find that the need for hearing the words of God in our hearts becomes even more necessary and more important to us as we get older and as we grow in grace. So the need of the Bible for you is even more necessary than those first days when you needed to know about God and Jesus to be saved. May not think so, but that is true. You see, the only weapon of your warfare, so that you don't allow yourself to indulge in your heart being moved to do the wrong, to think evil, and all the things that the Lord talked about, the only thing that can prevent that happening is the word of God in your heart. You need the word of God. Just like the 5,000 people sat down on the grass and the Savior broke the bread and the fishes and the disciples went around with it and everybody had enough to eat and went away satisfied. So you and I need to feed upon the word of God. And that is how our faith not only comes into being, but our faith grows. We become stronger, and because we are stronger, we become happier believers in Christ. There's nothing so joyous that can make a child of God happier than the words of God coming to his heart to assure and reassure him or her of her salvation. Well, having said that, let's have a look at the little bit of a contrast that we've got here. Do you ever find that you have ups and downs? It's quite obvious, really, why some of us have ups and downs. Now, for instance, do you feel better on a rainy day or on a sunny day? I think most people will feel better on a sunny day. There's something depressive about the continual dripping of the rain. but in the same way, spiritually speaking, some of us have special high days when the Lord is so real to us and we feel so buoyed up and carried along by the Lord. And these are wonderful experiences, and they're necessary experiences. And if you don't get them, you want to get and find out where you can get them. That's why every one of us should deliberately choose a particular part of the year, of every year, to try and get along with the people of God at some conference or something, to be strengthened in fellowship with quite a number of believers. I remember when I was at Bodmin Road and we saw all those people come into the Lord until we were up to about 100. We started with 18, and all these people began to trust the Lord Jesus, and they were marvelous days, marvelous days. And Filey Christian Convention came along, and he says, we're all going in on a bus, we're getting on a bus, and we're going to Filey Christian Convention. Now, most of those who got on the bus to go had never been to anything like this before. All they knew about Christianity was maybe 30 to 40 to 50 Christians meeting at Bodmin Road Church, singing and listening to the Word of God. That's all they knew. I mean, anywhere else. I mean, most of them didn't know anything about Christianity at all. Never been to church, some of them, before, ever. Well, when they got to Filey, and they sat in that great big hall, I forget what they called it now, Gaiety Theatre. When they sat in this great big place, and there were about 2,000 or 3,000 people there, I think. Well, anyway, a great number of people. They were saying to me, oh, we had no idea that so many people believed in the Lord Jesus. This strengthening, you see. Well, the Lord Jesus said to those three special disciples that got very close to him, should have got closer, but they came pretty close. Come on. Off we go, we're going up in the mountain. So taking Peter, James, and John up into the mountain, they went. And this is where our reading begins. This is what he says to his disciples. There are some of you who stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. That's a funny thing to say. Somebody there standing there was not going to die until they had a special experience of seeing the kingdom of God and its power. And the Lord Jesus takes these three up into the mountain. We begin to understand what he was talking about. This is what happens. He takes Peter, James, and John and leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Now, let's talk about this word transfigured for a moment, please, because I know you will understand what I mean. Now, when I was a boy, my mum and dad said, go up and watch the butterflies on our cabbages. The butterflies would go for the cabbages and lay their eggs, and then you'd have the caterpillars. And our cabbages would suffer as a result of the caterpillars. And so, butterflies were not welcome in our garden. But there's something rather wonderful about a butterfly, see? Butterfly begins its life as a little caterpillar. And then, in a miraculous way, a little casing is wove around the caterpillar. And it dies, and it's in this little casing, and after a period of time, out of that caterpillar casing comes a beautiful, maybe colored winged butterfly. An absolute transformation, right? You and I are like the caterpillars, right? But there comes a change. The true Christian believer who has the Spirit of Christ, and that's a secret, you see, will emerge out of the old broken down body that we have now. The older we get, of course, the more decrepit and the more weak it becomes. But out of that same body, there will come a glorious body, like unto the body of Jesus Christ. A transfigured, wonderful experience, you see. It's marvelous thing. This is something to look forward to. We do not know what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. See, what a wonderful prospect it is, you see. Transformation. Now, up on the top of the mountain, the Lord Jesus suddenly becomes transfigured. His whole being is clothed with the holy light of God, the Shekinah glory. He is now in his glory as he was before the world was, and before he came into the world, born in a manger as a human being in that sense, though still God. Now, for just a short period of time, Peter, James, and John sees the Lord Jesus covered with the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. Transfigured. Glistering. Wonderful. This is the glory of the kingdom. And three of them saw it. That's what he said. He said it would be. It's at hand. He said, well, what purpose is that? Well, we'll have a think about that for a moment. They had a high spot. They had a high time. Because they were absolutely, they were so taken up with it. Because at that moment, two other figures appeared. And don't ask me how they knew who it was. But many, many, many years before, there was a person called Moses. Of course, you know a little bit about him. And later on, there was another person, a prophet called Elijah. And there were these two people were standing talking with Jesus about Calvary. Moses and Elijah were talking with the Lord Jesus of how that the Lord Jesus was going to accomplish his death at Calvary. Wonderful. You see, Calvary, the suffering of the Lord Jesus, has been always in the mind of God, even before the foundation of the world. Did you know that God thought of you, whoever you are, no matter what you might think of yourself as being nothing, listen now, God had you in mind even before he made the worlds, before he brought the clouds into being, before he brought the mountains forth, before the seas, before anything ever took place in creation. God thought of precious people as individuals, one at a time. He thought of you and had you in mind. Moses knew something of how that was going to come. Elijah knew something of that and how it was going to come. And so for a brief period of time, on the top of that mountain, these disciples here, three of them, listened to the Lord Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah about how it would happen at the cross. Isn't that wonderful? What a privilege it must have been to be there. Huh? And of course they were. I'm going to use a phrase now I've used for years. They were chuffed. You know what I mean by that? They were thrown to bits or whatever about it. Well, okay. Peter says, Master, can we build three temples here? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Silly man. I have a very high opinion of Moses. Of course I do. We wouldn't have the first books in the Bible if it hadn't been for Moses. And I love the prophet Elijah. Wonderful picture of a man who was absolutely fearless and so brave. Great man, Elijah the prophet. But these people can't be compared with the Lord Jesus. How can you compare anybody with the very Son of God who gave his life for sinners at the cross? Moses couldn't save anybody. Elijah couldn't save anybody. Only the Lord Jesus can save anybody. And so I am not at all surprised, and neither should you be surprised, when a voice comes from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. So that's one of the first things we have to learn about this Savior who is resurrected, who is at the right hand of God now, crowned with glory and honor now, the Lord Jesus has received the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. He's in the glory now, is the Lord Jesus. He's not glorified on the earth yet. He will do. But he is glorified in heaven, surrounded by angelic beings and all those who've departed this life, trusting in the Lord Jesus. They're there with Christ. Oh, very wonderful. And nobody can be compared with the Lord Jesus. Hear him. And that's how we start our Christian life. Have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you? Very important. I say, what do you mean? I've heard a voice, an audible voice? No. Through the pages of Scripture, he says something like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Time and time and time again, we have the invitations of the voice of Christ, which is merely echoed by the preacher, like me. I am merely stating what he said and what he says, because he still says it today. The day will come when he will no longer speak like that. The time and the opportunity for listening to the voice of the Son of God will have ceased. But at the moment, the voice of Jesus is heard. Now, what do we expect to follow from the voice of Jesus? Well, now listen now carefully. This is what he says in an important chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice. That's the first thing he says. Let's think about that for the moment. There are those who do not hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, who don't want to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, sad to say. But there are those who do listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. They respond when the Lord Jesus says, come, they come. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, I suppose early in my Christian life, I might have thought to myself, hey, hasn't he got it wrong? I don't hear that spoken of quite like that. I do hear it spoken of that they know him. We talk about, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Now, I'm more used to hearing that said like that, you see, us knowing him. But he doesn't say that. Very important. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. In other words, he has access into your heart and life. He knows you. Now, those of us who are married, who have been married, I think there may be times when we think that we know our partner. But we don't, you know. You see, to really get to know somebody, you would almost have to get inside their skin and know their hearts. I remember an old story being told of... when I was a young boy, I wasn't so much a follower of football. I was a follower of cricket, because Gloucestershire was a cricket county more than a football county, you know. More cricket, you see. So I would watch cricket, and of course in those days there was such a man who was the captain of England at one time, Walter Hammond. We are going back a bit. This is the 1930s. Well, Walter Hammond was one of the great batsmen, you know, years ago. He was a great batsman. It was Walter Hammond. And on the Gloucester training field, Walter Hammond was playing, and there was a little boy that was very regular watching them playing, and he was trying to catch all, you know, learn all the things about being a batsman and that, you see. And when he got in touch and talking with Walter Hammond, and Walter Hammond says, come on, lad, come on up to the crease. I hope you know what I mean by that, but anyway, come on up And he says, now give us your hand, put your hand on the bat. Now I'm going to put my hands over your hands, and we'll ask the chap to send the ball down to bowl, you see. And so the bowler sent the ball down, and Walter Hammond, with the little boy's hands underneath his, lifted the bat and played a classic stroke, you see, and very nice. And of course the boy felt really good. Come on, send another ball down. And again the ball came down, and Walter Hammond, with the boy's hands underneath his, lifted the bat, played another stroke. Well, he said, right now then, said Walter Hammond, you're on your own. Of course, when the ball came down the next time, off went the bells, and they would say, the only thing that could have made the difference was Walter Hammond, if he could have got inside that little boy, right? If only he could have got inside that little boy, it would have been all right. And the only way that you and I were going to make it to heaven, or now down here, is if Jesus Christ is inside you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. Now that's a good description of what Christianity really is about. Hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you, responding, He knowing you, coming into your life, and the gift of eternal life, you see. Marvelous thing. Well, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. He's the most important one. So now down they go from the mountain. And when they get down in the valley, what a different state of affairs. They were high up in their happiness and joy and understanding up on the mountain with the Lord Jesus, looking at this tremendous scene of with Moses and Elijah talking with a glorified master, Lord Jesus, you see. But down in the valley, there's a lot of people milling about, and there's a lot of hubbub and a lot of noise, and there's crying and all sorts of going on down here. It's a different thing down in the valley. And we come to church, and just supposing God may be blessing you tonight, I hope He is. And God is blessing you, warming your heart, and making you feel a stronger Christian. God is doing that. We got to face tomorrow. We're going down in the valley again. We want to be better able to face what's down in the valley, don't we? You know, this is the point. This is one of our reasons for coming to be with people in the Church of God. Is that we want to be strengthened. The Lord coming close to us because we've come close to Him. Remember, He says, draw near to God and I will draw near to you. He will draw near to you. See, so that's how it works. Well, they're down in the valley, and the Lord Jesus sees this little crowd, and He says, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And let me look down at my Bible now. Because one of the multitude said, Master, I brought unto you my son who has a dumb spirit. Actually, it was more than that. He was deaf and dumb. Now, we don't understand how some people are either born like this or are afflicted by it later in life. We don't understand that. But it is very detrimental, not only to physical happiness, but to spiritual happiness, if a person is deaf or dumb. Now, I happen to know by first-hand experience something of the horror of this being deaf and dumb, because my grandfather was born deaf and dumb. That may surprise you, but he was. John Edwin Smith was born deaf and dumb. Not totally deaf, thank God, but certainly not speaking. The miracle was that a particular day somebody started to beat up his little brother, and Grandad spoke for the first time. They began to speak, not clearly, His name for me wasn't Leslie. Couldn't say it. Eddie. I have fond memories of him. But a tragic situation because, you see, he was hampered in his life. He was hampered intellectually. And I always remember people communicated, and sometimes someone would come to the door and they would go like this, you see. And the sign language of that day. In fact, I learned it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I can do a little bit of it even now. But it hampers you, a deaf and a dumb spirit. And this man is bringing his boy to the Lord Jesus. He's already tried the disciples, but I'm afraid no success whatsoever. Now, there are evil powers that can get hold of people's lives today. And it's not so simple as some people would try and make out when they say, some of them, what they call tele-evangelists and things like this, and they would say, you see, and they would put their hand out and they'd say, come out to the man, come out! They would start talking like this, you see. It's not so simple as that. Not so simple as that. God can indeed deal with a lot of these things and restore people to health. There's no doubt about that. But you see, there's far more reasons sometimes for them being as they are than there are for them not being as they are. I met a man once who was blind, and he thanked God for his blindness. I heard him say it. I mean, I don't know whether I could ever say thank you, Lord, for being blind, but he thanked God for it because he says, when blindness happened to me, I turned to God. See, when you hear a verse like this, Christians sometimes use it very glibly. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It sounds as well, look there. Oh, don't worry, it's all God's got it all in hand, you know, everything's going to be all right. It's very, very glib, you see. But when trouble really hits us sometimes, you know, I'm not surprised that some do go down. But what I would like us to think about tonight is that there is some way in which God comes and holds us up and keeps us going. And it's by prayer and the Word of God. And this is what we have illustrated here when this man says, I brought my son, deaf and dumb spirit. He's no control over himself at all, always in danger of losing his life. This is the work of the devil. Do you remember the Lord Jesus talking about the thief comes not but for to steal and kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. Well, the thief there is, of course, the devil, the enemy. And he comes to steal and kill and to destroy. And that is why we have a higher suicide rate today. People think they can end their lives and that's the finish of it, but of course it isn't true. Their lives haven't even begun, really, when you consider a number of years in comparison to eternity. Can't compare 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years with eternity. You cannot compare it. The devil is busy trying to rob you. Do you mind if I speak personally to you, my dear friend? The devil wants to rob you of peace and joy. If indeed you have trusted the Lord Jesus the best way you know how, you believe that he died for you, you do love him. There's a long way to go yet, and you would be the first to admit that, but you do love him really deep within your heart, you know. Now then, how can I go on? This man comes with the problem of his son in danger of losing his life. The enemy comes, he wants to rob you of your spiritual life and your well-being. You've got to learn the secret of true prayer and how to depend upon the Lord Jesus in a continuing experience, not just having a little bite of the cherry on Sundays, pardon me, but every day learning to depend upon the Lord Jesus and let him fill your life. That's very important. Hope you don't forget that. Well, let's have a look at what happened here now. The Lord Jesus is very upset when he realizes that his disciples hadn't the power to help this young boy. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" It almost looks as though the Lord Jesus is saying, "Oh dear, how much longer am I going to be down in this world? Nobody wants to believe," which is the really secret of the Christian life. To believe, to depend upon, trust in, you see. And he's looking around for it, but he doesn't find it because there's just nothing there. How long? This faithless generation, he says, how long shall I suffer you? And then he uses his words, bring him to me. Oh my, bring him to me. How many times we've tried almost anything but bringing him or bringing her, or bringing a situation to the Lord. What is it we sung this morning? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what griefs we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There's our problem. Try everything first, and we'll try God last. Well, that's not good enough, is it? No, we know it's not good enough, but it's often the case. Oh, I've got a headache. Where's the aspirin bottle? You know, we should say, Lord, take this away. And he is, of course, delighted when we exercise faith and trust in him. He's delighted. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You want to please God? Then have faith. Believe him. Trust him. Depend upon him. Oh, well, this is what we're learning from this story that's taking place here. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Tell me all about it, says the Lord Jesus. He longs to hear his child calling to him. So they bring him, and when the Lord Jesus saw him, the spirit tear him and fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. How long since this came, he says, of a child? He's been in the fire, he's been in the waters. It's nearly taken his life to destroy him. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Is it a very, very low ebb of belief? If you can do anything. No. This is talking to the Almighty God. He doesn't realize. He doesn't realize. People out there don't realize that Jesus Christ is a creator God. If you can do anything, have compassion and help us. And the Lord comes back with an if. The man said, if. Lord Jesus comes back, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Very encouraging. You say, Mr. Smith, how can I get more faith? Well, you won't be the first to ask that one. The disciples came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. They thought that perhaps by asking and by praying that God would increase their faith. Not so. The Lord Jesus said, if you had it, it would grow like the mustard seed. So use your faith, no matter how small it is, use it and it will grow. I think D.L. Moody said this. He said, I used to ask God to give me more faith, but I read in the Bible that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he says, I stopped asking about it and started reading the word of God more. And the more you read the Bible, the more you will know about God, and he'll get bigger. Because he gets bigger in your mind, your faith will have increased. You'll be asking bigger things of him. You'll find 1 week that you have to trust him for £5. And some, in miraculous way, it comes. And the next week, you all feel the better able to ask him for 10. And it grows like that. You see, it's a mysterious thing. Can I use a simple illustration to make you smile? Maybe, I think maybe it will do. But supposing I'm standing at my house and the garage door is open and a young fella comes up, quite a nice looking chap, and seems to look quite a decent fellow, and he says to me, "Excuse me, but is that a scooter I can see? Do you remember the scooters? Is that a scooter I can see in your garage?" And I said, "Yes, it is." He says, "Do you mind if I borrow it?" And I said, "Okay," because it's not really worth a lot, you know. And anyway, I thought, "Yeah, go on, have a go." So he borrows it and brings it back the next day all cleaned up. "Oh, thank you very much, you know, and thank you for loaning it to me, sir." And he comes along the next day and says, "Excuse me, but is that a cycle?" Which is, of course, worth a little bit more, you see. So I said, "Yeah, could I borrow it?" He says, "Okay, help yourself." Off he goes, use it, brings it back all nicely cleaned up. You see, next day comes along, he says, "Excuse me, is that a motorcycle?" He gets the motorcycle. "Oh, what is it? That's a nice car, can I borrow it?" "Yes, help yourself." Yeah. Do you see how I mean? The progression, you see. And God can trust you with the little things. And as you honor him with the little things, he'll trust you with bigger things, and bigger things, and bigger things. And that's how faith grows. And the Lord Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Lovely. Well, here we are. Straightway, the father of the child cried out. You see, the intensity, the desperation of the man with regard to the little boy who he loved so much made him cry out. And really, these are desperate days in which we should be so much the more deeply concerned when we pray. May the days of matter-of-fact praying cease. We want people who are sufficiently caring that they can hardly contain themselves when they cry to God. Very, very important. That's why our churches are where they are, honestly. I don't like to think of it any more than you, but I believe our churches are the way they are because we are not sufficiently caring about the state of affairs. He cried unto the Lord, and the tears fell from his eyes, this dear man, disappointed, discouraged, unbelieving, if you can help. Well, with the crying, with the tears, what does he say? "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And sometimes when we come with our feeble prayers, sometimes because we haven't bothered to study the Word of God and get to know what a big God we've got. So the bigger he is in our minds because we've explored the Bible and found him to be bigger than what we thought, the more able we are to ask for big things from God. There's a lot to this. I hope you will decide that you will begin to study and read your Bible much more carefully, really loving the God who gives you all you need to know when you read it. Very, very, very important. Thank God for the day when somebody made me feel ashamed of myself in the way that I did not know the Bible. I felt ashamed of myself and decided that I would give myself to find out about this wonderful God from the Bible for myself. Thank God for the day. Thank God for the day. Well, the Lord Jesus speaks to him and says, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him. Enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and came out. He was as one dead, but the Lord Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, And he was arose. Wonderful miracle. Nobody is past the love of God. Nobody is unreachable, because this same God has compassion. But he looks for people who have compassion, who are caring for others. Always. Others, others, others. In an old Salvation Army hall, they had a Bible verse like you have up here, only this is higher up than what this was in this Salvation Army. It was coming up from where the hymn board is, just there, and it just said these words, Jesus only, stretching right across the church, Jesus only. But the preachers would come up and their elbows would brush against the wall, and gradually some of the letters would disappear from the text. And instead of Jesus only, it was us only. And this is where we get to if we're not careful. Self, self, me, always. Instead of Jesus only. That's the secret. Yeah, you heard that little song, little kiddies song we had in Sunday school? Can I sing it? I don't know. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely that must mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that's the secret. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. It's the secret of a joyous, happy life, which is exactly how the Lord was himself, Father first, all the other creatures around him next, and himself last. Always. Well now, beloved, there we are. Let me just tell you about my visit to Leeds during the past week. I've just got a couple of minutes. The clock is fast. The Leeds City missionaries are without a director at the moment, and they asked me to go along and give them some training and encourage them. And I said, well, I'd like to go out in the open air with you. And so it was fixed up. We went there last Tuesday. And we had a great time. I was thoroughly at home in the open air at Leeds, even as I was some 30-odd years ago. And you know, you have the promise in the Bible, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I am with you always. It's a promise. But it's a promise that becomes a fact when you do what it says. Now, I can believe that if anybody goes into the world and preaches the gospel, the Lord Jesus will be with them. I can believe that as a promise. But if I actually go and preach the gospel, as he says I should and commands me to, I can know as a fact that the Lord is with me out there in that open air. That's something different, you see. Like I was saying about the lady in poverty whose son kept on sending these bank bills over. She had no idea and was putting them up as wallpaper in her bedroom. We went through our sketch board preaching the gospel to bear some lovely time. Let me tell you two things. One particular lady came right in front of where I was standing preaching away, and she says, what about all that trouble in the world, you know? Why didn't God put a stop to it? Before I could give an answer, the lady, complete stranger to her, the lady next door to her said, that's nothing to do with God, that's to do with man. I didn't need to answer it. I thought that was beautiful. You see, the Lord is with us. At the end of it, I noticed a colored man sitting up on the seat. And I saw his face. You can read a lot in people's faces. And I saw his face and I thought, that man is interested. And so when I finished, I looked across and I waved. And he waved back and I thought, oh, there's no animosity. He's not nasty or anything like that, you see. So I went over to him and I said, well, he said, I've enjoyed listening to you. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, oh yes, my parents were Christians. I said, that doesn't make you one. He said, I was able to help him to see that Christianity was a personal thing. He himself had to understand the love of Christ to him to become his Savior and his Lord and his Master. Who did that? Not me. Only God can bring about a faith like that in a person's life. I'm with you. It's a wonderful thing. Well, our time's gone, and thank you for listening so carefully, and may the God who gives the word enable you to remember these important things from his own word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that when somebody really listens to your voice, though they be deaf and dumb, you can call them into newness of life, and you can lift them up and strengthen them. And you can be with us all in a world that doesn't want to know. We can ourselves know and listen to you, and we can follow you and be used of you in this world. Thank you for this afternoon and this evening together. And may your name be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.